joining us to talk about how the Yemenis are actually supporting their brothers and sisters in Palestine while they themselves are suffering from the Saudi war machine. Thank you very much for being with us. Please stay tuned next week for more from the Middle East Stream.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime forces are facing fresh condemnation from international human rights experts for their force against Palestinian protesters in occupied East Al-Quds that left hundreds injured and airstrikes into Gaza that killed dozens of people, including 9 children. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Andrea Germanis Ryder. This article is published under the heading Human Rights Experts Denounce Israeli Regime Violence and Confiscation of Homes in East Al-Quds as Violation of International Law. Stay tuned, please, for the details. Israeli regime forces are facing fresh condemnation from international human rights experts for their force against Palestinian protesters in occupied East Al-Quds that left hundreds injured and airstrikes into Gaza that killed dozens of people, including children. Also under scrutiny are Israeli regime's attempt evictions in Sheikh Jarrah, which would amount to war crimes, Amnesty International said recently. In his statement, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights reiterated his plea for an end to the violence. The body appealed to the Israeli regime to respect international humanitarian law. Referring to the Israeli regime's strikes into densely populated Gaza, an area deemed by occupation critics an open-air prison, spokesperson for the High Commissioner Rupert Colville said any attack, including airstrikes, should be directed solely at military objectives and all feasible precautions must be taken to avoid civilian death and injury and damage to civilian objectives. Israel must also refrain from punitive measures such as additional closures and restrictions that punish the entire civilian population of Gaza, he said. The Palestinian Red Crescent Society, which says it's been targeted as its attempts to provide aid to wounded worshippers and protesters, said that over 900 Palestinians were injured between May 7th and May 10th in East Al-Quds. The repression drew condemnation from United Nations human rights experts Michael Link and Balakrishnan Rajagopal. The recent scenes of Israeli police and security forces attacking large crowds of Palestinian residents and worshippers is only intensifying a deeply inflammatory atmosphere in the city. A militarized response to civilian protests against discriminatory practices only deepens social divisions. Respecting rights is the only path forward, Link, Special Rapporteur on the Situation of Human Rights in the Palestinian Territory Occupied Since 1967, and Rajagopal, Special Rapporteur on Adequate Housing, said in a statement recently. Their statement also references the threatened evictions of Palestinian families from their homes in Sheikh Jarrah, which have elicited ongoing protests. An occupying power is prohibited from confiscating private property belonging to the protected population, and it must respect the body of existing laws which had governed the territory, unless it is absolutely necessary to alter them, said Link and Rajagopal. The forced transfer of the population under occupation is a grave breach of the Fourth Geneva Convention, which contributes to the coercive environment now prevailing in Istanbul as well. They continued, these evictions breach the right to adequate housing, a core human right in international law. Saleh Hijazi, Deputy Director for the West Asia-North Africa region at Amnesty International, similarly condemned the Israeli regime's recent actions. The latest violence brings into sharp focus Israel's sustained campaign to expand illegal Israeli settlements and set up forced evictions of Palestinian residents, such as those in Sheikh Jarrah, to make way for Israeli settlers. These forced evictions are part of a continuing pattern in Sheikh Jarrah. They flagrantly violate international law and would amount to war crimes, said Hijazi. Nabil Accord, one of the residents of Sheikh Jarrah who is facing possible eviction, told Amnesty International that the Israeli regime's actions must prompt urgent action from the international community. Sheikh Jarrah is sending a message to the whole world, including the US Congress, the UK Parliament, the French Parliament, the EU Parliament, the International Criminal Court, that what is happening to us is a war crime, said Accord. It is not just an eviction, but a war crime. Remember that. I do not know why the entire world is watching what is happening and letting Israel get away with it, said Accord. It is time they stopped spoiling Israel. In the US, some members of Congress are calling for a shift in ongoing policies and practices in which the US continues to supply the Zionist regime unconditional military aid and defense the Israeli regime's lethal military actions as self-defense, while rejecting direct criticism of Israeli regime forces' deadly attacks on Palestinians and the ongoing illegal occupation. Those voices include Representatives Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and Andre Carson. In a joint statement condemning the attacks on worshippers at Al-Aqsa, the lawmakers said the threatened evictions are a direct violation of international law, the Geneva Convention, and basic human rights. They said, "We condemn all violence in this conflict. These acts only serve to advance the political goals of the powerful at the expense of the suffering of people." The lawmakers also denounced the lack of accountability for Israeli regime's wanton human rights abuses and continuing illegal seizures of Palestinian land in the face of mere lip service to a Palestinian state. It is long past time we finally take action to protect Palestinian human rights and save lives, the trio said.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyya. We have been discussing the seventh supplication of this prayer manual, and that is on the dua of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam during incidents of sorrow, painful occasions, and intense grief. We just started verse number 3, where Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam says, "Thus it is solely through your desire, without expressing your command, that they the things submit to your command, and it is solely through your will, without expressing your prohibition, that they are prevented from your prohibitions." We came to realize that without expression, Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam says, without even your expression, whenever you will something to happen, it happens. You see, you do not need anything for something to happen. Whenever you will something, it will transpire. And we came to realize that this is the ontological will. It is not like our will, that if we want something, then, if we want, it can happen, it cannot happen. And in that legislative sense, when we are told, when we are commanded something, we can accept, we cannot accept, we have that free will of accepting or not accepting. Here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when He commands something to happen, it will transpire, and that is ontological will. And we said that that also actually covers the legislative will of ours as well. Because even if, let us say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that pray on time, and we do not want to pray on time, for example, Allah can bring such circumstances that we will pray on time, because ultimately whatever He wants will transpire. But then He has made it in such a way that we are free to decide whatever we want. But ultimately, even whatever we want, we cannot make it transpire except by His will.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
Now, a very important thing that we must consider, and we have been talking about this now and again, but it is important for us to remind ourselves about it, is that here Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam is not like a lay person who knows these things intellectually. Even I'm talking about the scholars, the philosophers who know these things intellectually. They have come to realize and come to ilmul yaqeen, the conviction that is gotten from conceptual knowledge. Imam has this, obviously, but we cannot try to compare his statements with the statements of the philosophers or those who know things conceptually. As we have been repeating now and again in different occasions, that Imam visions and sees the reality. And therefore, when he says that thus it is solely through your desire without expressing your command that the things submit to your command, and it is solely through your will without expressing your prohibition that they are prevented from your prohibitions. When he says this, he does not say this conceptually only. He actually comprehends this and visions this presentially, and that is what is very important. And brothers and sisters, that is what we should aspire in our life, that we do not only understand the realities from the conceptual dimension, but we also see the things presentially. We behold the things as they are. And that is what is very important. And that makes us always do the right things, because we see the reality. We see the reality of sin. We see the reality of Allah and His connection with us, obviously, in that limited way that we can, because we do not have that limitless existence. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who enjoys limitless and infinite existence. Our existence is limited, and therefore whatever is disclosed to us is also limited according to our comprehension. We cannot go to the essence of Allah, and we cannot comprehend His essence. Only He comprehends His own essence. But we can climb to the higher levels of perfection and see the realities of the things that are happening. There are a group of spiritual travelers who also can vision the philosophy of the unpleasant events that are transpiring in this universe. And that is something very, very important.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
When Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam expresses this and says everything that happens is submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and anything that is prevented also is because Allah does not want it to happen, he says this after or while he visions the reality. And that actually encourages us that we should go after the vision of the reality. And the path, as we have mentioned now and again, is through spiritual struggle and cleansing one's soul. Gradually a person comes to that reality whereby he has ontological power but by Allah's permission, because no one can have any independent ontological power at all. It is by Allah's permission that a person can make things transpire. It is by Allah's permission that a person can see the reality with the heart, not only understand it through the mind. And that makes the dua very, very sweet. And that's what also Imam Khomeini, in his beautiful manual on the commentary of Dua As-Sahar of the holy month of Ramadan, writes and says, you know, this is something that the Imam or the Ma'soom alayhi afdalu salawatil musallin beholds and visions and sees. It is not only something that is conceptually understood. Conceptual understanding is a rudimentary stage. It's only after spiritual exercises that a person can reach that apex and that zenith. And that calls all of us to go towards this spiritual struggle, to start this spiritual struggle before the time is over, and that we are not given the opportunity. And therefore, there should be constant supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, enable us while we are reciting these du'as and these supplications to see the way the a'imma alayhim salam would see. Inshallah, we'll continue with our discussion in our next episode. We come to the end of the program. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Harjaz nagirat to abad aqa kasi jay to ra harjaz makhad az kaf daham ishq o tawallay to ra
Food for thought.
Salam, and since we are still basking in the blessings of Eid al-Fitr, following the end of the fasting month of Ramadan, here is food for thought from the Commander of the Faithful, the Imam of the Pious, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the divinely designated vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Indeed, the aid is for those whose fasting has been accepted by God and whose worship has been appreciated. And any day on which God has not been disobeyed is aid.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kHz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. The light.
Looking for a cheaper and more sustainable alternative to traditional lawn mowers? Ship me may be the answer. Researchers at the University of California, Davis have embarked on a project to test the effectiveness of sheep as new lawn mowers. The project includes 25 sheep of four different breeds. They are going to graze on a one-acre plot of pasture for 3 days. The process will be repeated after a month.
The sheep have been used for a couple of things. So they're as good as goats in reducing down the vegetation. So in areas where there is, it doesn't just have to be a lawn. If they're in their areas where there's overgrown and you've got sort of those higher fuel ladders, they can eat that down. But what they also do, so they can cut that out, but then they also can come around. And after there's been a fire, they're really good at eating the weeds that come up initially, the weeds that we don't want, those invasive weeds.
Researchers believe that the initiative also has an environmental impact. With fewer mowers, there might be less emission. They also hope using sheep will help increase natural fertilization and nutrient levels.
Using an unusual array of tools for a haircut, that's what a Pakistani barber does to rise above the competition. Ali Abbas lives in the city of Lahore, eastern Pakistan. He uses blow torches, meat cleavers, and even broken glass to do a cut. He typically begins a haircut with a blowtorch to take a bit off the top. He then uses a cleaver and butcher's block and sometimes broken glass to cut the lower layers. His style is proving to be a hit.
This idea was not a joke. One day I was thinking of doing something different. It was my desire to do something in a different way. Since I started this, my customers have increased. People's confidence has been boosted. When you're visible on a platform and people see you, people will say, "We must try this. We should try this."
Abbas has been using this style since 2016. He says he has received a very good response from his clients. His peculiar approach has also resulted in TV appearances and fashion shoots. It's not an everyday scene for Londoners to see a whale swimming in the River Thames, but over the weekend, the city witnessed a small whale being rescued after it got stuck along the river. The baby whale was first spotted in the evening, becoming stranded on the Lock's boat rollers in Richmond. Rescuers worked during the night to free the 4-meter-long whale. After 4 hours, the injured animal was successfully moved to a safer location. A vet is now monitoring its situation to make sure it's healthy enough to be released back to the ocean.
people around the world dream of having special weddings, but these couples in Russia have made their wishes come true. 30 couples in Moscow have gotten married on cable car cabins, hoping to set a world record. The sweethearts exchange vows mid-air with a picturesque view of rainy Moscow. If the attempt to set a record is verified and confirmed, it will go to the Guinness Book of World Records. The wedding ceremony in Russia has turned into an extraordinary one as it was celebrated on a 720-meter-long cable car. 30 Russian couples tied the knot in the moving cable car cabins on Saturday. Even rainy weather in Moscow didn't stop them. The newlyweds said they wanted to make their already special day as unusual as possible. They also hoped that their mass wedding would set a Guinness World Record. The remains of 9 Neanderthals have been found near the Italian capital, Rome. Archaeologists believe the oldest one is dated to around 100,000 years ago. The other 8 remains are dated between 50,000 and 68,000 years ago. Researchers unearthed the fossil fragments in the Guattari prehistoric cave, or caves I should say, near Rome. Neanderthals are the closest ancient relatives of humans. They died out about 40,000 years ago. Some theories say they died because of their inability to adapt to climate change.
Thousand drones have lit up the sky of a northwestern Russian town in a dazzling show commemorating the country's victory in World War II. The drones flew in formation and displayed images related to the deadliest war in history. The show ended with a giant dove of peace flying above mesmerized spectators. Russia commemorates its victory day on May the 9th every year. There is also an annual parade which the authorities decided to postpone due to the coronavirus pandemic. Humans have used the services of honeybees for centuries. Now, Dutch scientists have found a way to get help from these small animals in detecting the coronavirus. Let's have a listen.
We take the bees from a honeybee keeper here in the region, and we use a set of bees every day, and we put those bees in harnesses to fix them. And then we present coronavirus positive and coronavirus negative samples. And after presenting a positive sample, we always present sugar water afterwards. So in the end, the bees extend their proboscis after being presented a coronavirus positive sample. And in that way, we can train bees pretty quickly.
The bees indicate a positive COVID-19 result by extending their tongue to drink a reward of sugar water. Using these insects as coronavirus testing tools can significantly shorten the time spent on waiting for the result of a COVID diagnosis. It can also be very important in countries where there is not enough infrastructure and testing. Bees have an unusually strong sense of smell. They have already been used in some parts of the world to detect explosives and toxins.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A recently installed pizza-making machine is pitting itself against masterful chefs in the Italian capital, Rome. The tall red machine has become a head-turner in the city, which is famous for its pizza, one of Italy's most iconic traditional dishes. The customers get to choose amongst 4 types of pizzas plus a drink. A few minutes after placing your order, you will receive a dish on a platter fresh out of the oven. But Italians say the pizza can't compete with those made traditionally.
The true pizza is made from a wood oven. I wouldn't even take into consideration eating a pizza from a machine.
So far, the reception from people has been far from favorable. However, some say the final product can be acceptable considering its price or if you're in a hurry.
As many countries accelerate their coronavirus vaccination programs, life is gradually getting back to normal. Now, residents of a nursing home in the Spanish capital, Madrid, finally get a chance to go out after months of isolation. Around 50 elderly residents and staff from two care homes went on an excursion to the Madrid Zoo after they were vaccinated against COVID-19. They visited some of the park's inhabitants, from pandas to elephants, while sitting on a miniature train. They hailed the idea, saying they were bored with staying at the nursing home with no visitors.
It's good to leave, to break the monotony of the nursing home, especially as we have been confined there for so long. It's nice to get outside, so I decided to go out and see the world.
The director of the care home believes the experience makes the residents forget about their pains. Around 43,000 seniors died of COVID-19 during the first wave of the pandemic in Spain. The elderly population was among the first group to receive coronavirus vaccines in the country.
Over the past few years, people have become more aware of the detrimental effect of littering to the environment. Bolivians have launched a nationwide campaign aimed at protecting the country's scenic spots and waterways from human waste. Hundreds of volunteers were seen cleaning up the Valley of the Souls near La Paz, which is famous for its unusual razor-sharp rock formations. The volunteers, aided by heavy machinery, managed to collect over 15 tons of plastic waste and construction rubble from the rocky canyon. Activist Carola says people needed to speak up more in defense of the nature, which is increasingly coming under threat.
It is incredible how we can find jewels like this painting amid all these piles of rubble and garbage. And we are surprised and ask, what is going on with nature? It is a tourist place where many people come. The Valley of the Souls is very special, and many people have gathered together here to be a voice for nature and to get it the care and respect it deserves.
Last month, the campaign also cleared the highland lake of Uru in western Bolivia, which is said to be full of more plastic than water. Campaigners say they will continue their efforts until no place with garbage is left in the country. An exhibition in the Belgian province of Walloon-Brabant has put on display several objects belonging to French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte. A belt with the word Waterloo written on it, a flintlock pistol, Napoleon's shoe, bathtub, cloth, and several other objects are all displayed in the exhibition. Many of the items are brought from Napoleon's last residence on St. Helena Island. The curators say the exhibition aims to show Napoleon's daily life and the way he lived. Earlier this week, an auction was set up in France offering Napoleon's blood-stained cloth, estimated to be sold for $18,000. May 5th marks the 200th anniversary of Napoleon's death.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We invite you to listen to this episode of today's special. We're going to speak about success in the month of Ramadan.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال.
Today Friday is the second of the month of Shawwal 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Ordubehesht 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of May 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We're going to speak about the meaning and significance of Eid al-Fitr. Fitr is a unique festival. It has no connection with any historical event, nor is it related to the challenges of seasons or cycle of agriculture. It is not a festival related to any way to worldly affairs. Its significance is purely spiritual. It is the day when Muslims thank Allah for having given them the will, the strength, and the endurance to observe, fast, and obey His commandments during the holy month of Ramadan. This day in Muslim world brings rejoicing and happiness. The rejoicing is not, however, at the departure of the month of Ramadan. It is the happiness which man feels after successfully completing an important task. So far as the passing away of month of Ramadan is concerned, the Muslim religious leaders of the early days of Islam always felt profound sorrow when it came to an end, as they felt that they were being deprived of the spiritual blessings which were associated with the month of fasting.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Rabbi Nasir. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with Eid al-Fitr. At the same time, we find that at the end of the month of Ramadan, it's expected of Muslims, of believers who have been successful in fasting throughout the month of Ramadan, to pay a special alms, Zakat Fitrah. Zakat Fitra means a kind of zakat or a kind of religious alms to be paid off to the poor, especially at the end of the month of Ramadan, in gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they've been successful in fasting throughout the month of Ramadan. Contrary to an initial perspective throughout the month of Ramadan, people are expected to abstain from eating, drinking, and some other deeds. And at the end, people are expected to pay alms to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It must be indicated that all of these indications are because of one point, and that we've been healthy enough, we'll be in good health in such a situation to be able to to obey the divine instructions and to be attentive to the divine injunctions, especially in the month of Ramadan, which is regarded as the month of the Holy Quran. This is because the Holy Quran was revealed unto the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in its entirety in the month of Ramadan. Hence, the month of Ramadan is regarded as the spring of the Holy Quran. Those Muslims who've been successful in fasting throughout the month of Ramadan and in reciting the Holy Quran, in order to appreciate this divine favor and this unique opportunity, they are expected to pay something to pay alms to the poor in order to perfect this ritual. Thank you very much for listening to this episode.
Feeling so good, smiles and greetings everywhere. Eid Mubarak to everyone out there. Whole families, they gather and celebrate. Today's the day, so come on, no time to waste. Sometimes the world takes us so far, though miles apart. Today you're in my heart.
Now, the lessons. Eid al-Fitr can be interpreted as a threefold blessings. First, it provides one more occasion for the Muslim to thank Allah and remember His blessings. Secondly, it affords an opportunity of spiritual stock-taking after the month of Ramadan. A Muslim can now ponder over the strength or weakness of his willpower. He can see in the mirror of Ramadan what were the strong or weak points of his character. Because under the stress of fasting, the hidden qualities or evils of human character come to surface in such clear way, which is perhaps not possible otherwise. Thus, a man gets a chance of self-diagnosis of the traits of his character. And thirdly, it enjoys the well-to-do persons to share a portion of what they have with their poor brethren. On the eve of Eid al-Fitr, a Muslim is obliged to give the needy foodstuff at the rate of a prescribed weight on behalf of himself and of every member of his family, including servants and guests who were sheltered under his roof on that night.
فرحتنا بلقاكم طيبين والسعادة بالأحبة وهم معانا عايدون يا عساهم عايدين.
Imam Zain al-Abidin, peace be upon him, says, "And verily this month of Ramadan stayed amongst us a welcome stay and gave us a righteous company, bestowing upon us the most excellent benefits in the universe. Now it departs from us at the completion of its time. Therefore, we bid it farewell as we did goodbye to one whose departure is hard upon us and make us sad, and whose parting away makes us feel lonely." Then Imam Sajjad turns towards the month of Ramadan, speaking in an endearing tone, "How much did we long for thee yesterday, and how intense will be our eagerness for thee tomorrow. Peace be on thee and thy excellence of which we have been deprived, that thy blessings which will no longer be with us."
So why is a believer happy on a day like the day of Eid al-Fitr? The reason is, brothers and sisters, every holiday, there has to be gifts associated with every holiday. When we have any holiday, that you either give out gifts to your loved ones or you collect gifts. You can't have a day of Eid, a day of celebration, without gifts. And Ramadan is no different. The day of Eid is no different. Eid al-Fitr has its gifts. And it's mentioned in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who narrates it, Imam al-Baqir. Al-Imam al-Baqir tells his companion Jabir al-Ju'fi. He tells him, oh Jabir, this is the hadith of my grandfather, Rasulullah. What did Rasulullah say? Rasulullah said, according to this hadith, إِذَا كَانَ أَوَّلُ يَوْمٍ مِنْ شَوَّالٍ. The first day of Shawwal, meaning the day of Eid al-Fitr. إِذَا كَانَ أَوَّلُ يَوْمٍ مِنْ شَوَّالٍ نَادَى مُنَادٍ أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ أُغْدُوا إِلَى جَوَائِزِكُمْ. The first day of Shawwal, the day of Eid, an angel calls out to all the believers, O believers, come and collect your gifts. So Jabir asks, gifts? There's gifts given on this day? The Imam now tells him, Imam al-Baqir, he tells him, Na'am, Jawa'izullah Azza wa Jal laysat ka jawa'izil muluk. He says, the person that's giving the gift on this occasion is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might think, it's the king, for example, of that time. He used to give the idea, the gift to his citizens. And Imam al-Baqir tells Jabir, no, the gift of Eid al-Fitr surpasses any gift that a human being can give. Because even if he's a king, what's the biggest, the largest, the greatest thing he can give you? Either money or land, worldly materialistic items. The gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we say in Arabic, the Eidiyya that Allah gives on the day of Eid al-Fitr is unmatched. No human being can offer you what Allah is offering you today and tomorrow. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offering us on the day of Eid al-Fitr? The hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, إِنَّ أَدْنَى مَا لِلصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ. The most basic thing that you will get. And it's so large, it's so big. إِنَّ أَدْنَى مَا لِلصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ أَنْ يُنَادِيهِمْ مَلَكٌ فِي آخِرِ يَوْمٍ مِنْ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ. An angel will tell you on the last day of Ramadan, like now. What will he say? أَبْشِرُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ غُفِرَ لَكُمْ مَا سَلَفَ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ. The angel will tell you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has freed you from all your sins. And Rasulullah, he mentions this in this hadith, شَهْرٌ أَوَّلُهُ رَحْمَةٌ وَأَوْسَطُهُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ وَآخِرُهُ الْإِجَابَ وَالْعِتْقُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Ramadan begins with mercy, forgiveness, and it ends by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freeing us from the shackles of Jahannam. And this is something that no human being can give you.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. And again, we express our congratulations on one of the great Eid of Muslims, Eid al-Fitr, Eid Mubarak.
Children are wearing new clothes, bright colors fill the streets, their faces full of laughter, their pockets full of sweets. Let us rejoice indeed, this is the day of Eid. Let us rejoice indeed, for this is the day of Eid.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.